when Jesus passes by. Things happen. We're going to start from where we stopped last night, talking about Samuel. God loves a broken and a contrite spirit. I don't see tears in the church anymore like I did years ago. You used to could take a mop and mop the tears up on the altars. I don't see people weeping in the church anymore for joy. Yet the Bible said, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I believe it's good for us to get a broken and a contrite spirit where we can just let go. Not hold back, but let go. Not hold back. I've got a scripture I want to read this morning, and we're going to start with where we left off with Samuel. We know who Samuel was, the prophet in the Bible, a great prophet. I admire him very much. Every time I read about him, I pick something up a little more about him. But he came to a place that he didn't understand why God and why these things was going just like that they ought to. Did you ever do that? Did you ever just come to a place, I don't know why things are happening like this. Why this person's doing that and that person's doing something else, and how come we have a turmoil, and how come this and how come that? Well, Samuel had came to that place. He had anointed Saul to be the king of Israel. And the works that he'd done, it just seemed like that. Well, now Saul has been rejected. He backslid, got away from God, and he's out of the thing. And Samuel throwed himself down and began to weep and mourn. Church, it's time for us to get down and weep and mourn. Samuel had got to that place. He was mourning. But he didn't know that the greatest job that probably in his lifetime in ministry was coming up. That was to anoint a real king. But he didn't realize that there. All he could see was the things that were wrong, that he doesn't understand. And the church has got to this place today where they just don't understand anymore what's going on. I'll tell you, we need to throw ourselves down on the altar and pray and weep until we mellow down. Years ago, I got into that. You know, sometimes when you have this going wrong and that going wrong and you have all kinds of things, you get a little bit bitter in here and you don't realize that. But when God broke me up, broke me down, I'll tell you, I got where I could weep. And it's been one of the greatest things in my ministry to be able to weep, to be able to rejoice in tears. But Samuel was there, and God said, how long you going to mourn for Saul? I want to tell you something, and put something in your ear, Samuel. I want you to go to the house of Jesse, and I've got me a king there that you'll anoint. I'm doing it, Samuel. You just go and fill your job. Samuel got up from where he was there weeping and went to the house of Jesse. And we know what happened at the house of Jesse. There was a king anointed. It wasn't the one that Samuel would have chose. It wasn't the one that Jesse would have chose. But it's the one that God had chose. And we're going to have to learn to be happy with what God has chose instead of what we want. I've never seen so I want this and I want that. But I tell you what, God wants us to be happy with what God has given us to do. And I've learned one thing. I've had lots of problems in churches. I've helped establish I don't know how many churches. But I've learned one thing, to be rejoicing in the Lord and be happy with what God has got you doing. It may not satisfy your flesh. It may not satisfy your imagination. It may not be what you want. But if God wants it, it'll work out where you'll be a broken man. But God wants us to be a broken person. He loves a broken and a contrite spirit. He don't want this big guy and little you. He don't want this rummaging around and carrying on in the church. Everybody against everybody and everybody fighting this organization and somebody fighting something else. It's time to quit fighting and be a broken person
and get down and seek the Lord while he may be found. I want to use for a text this morning, Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. He tells us this people needed this. They probably wasn't happy to get it, but they needed it. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Start getting right with God. Sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Break it up, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. That's the message that God's trying to get over to the church. Sow to yourself in righteousness. It's everybody's sin. Can I do this and get away with it? Oh, it won't hurt this a little bit. God will forgive me for this and that. That ain't what he said. He said, sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And when you start doing that, you'll go forth weeping. And you both bear precious seed. And you'll come again rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. But God wants us to learn how to weep. We're living in a hard world. That killing somebody doesn't amount to much anymore to people out there. Sin is on every hand. You just mentioned being a Christian, they'll jump all over you. But mention being an outlaw, they'll join you. I'll tell you that we got a lot of churches that's outlawed in the eyes of God. We got a lot of preachers that's outlawed in the eyes of God. We got some people that needs to pray through and seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon them. And God will do something for us once again. I feel the stirring in the mulberry tree that God's once again, he's going to bring us forth in a revival that's going to shake things once again. But we're going to have to get together and have fellowship together. 1 John 5:7 said, fellowship. It speaks of fellowship. Fellowship. What is fellowship? It's where we join together, unite, and have fellowship one with another. Fellowship one with another. And the Lord will hear our prayers. I want to kind of go with this theme this morning, which fits in with last night. I want to call this one, going on. Let us go on. People are stayed in a spot where all they can see is bad. They can't see what God's doing. They can't hear what God's saying. And that's kind of where Samuel had got. He throwed himself on the altar. He was weeping. He didn't know what to do. He just knew he had anointed a king, and the king had failed. And, you know, he was kind of partial to Saul because of his height, his looks, and his popularity with the people. You know, that's what we've got in offices anymore, in the presidency of the United States and the Congress. It's who wants to see to the people, you know, they like somebody that's that he's a nice looking fella and he's a smooth talker and all that, so they vote him in. I'll tell you, we need some rough talkers sometimes, some that can break things down to where God can put it back together, because things are broken apart, church. Time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. That's where I want to preach from tonight. Don't stay there in one place. Let us go on. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Dead works is an over thing with God. It's time to seek the Lord. Dead works. Pray through. I traveled for years, and the first 20 years of my work in the ministry as far as an evangelist, I'd go by a church and I'd pray this bunch through. Well, the next time I went by the next year, I had to pray the same bunch through. That's not going on, church. If you have to pray through once a month, pray through once a month, pray through every day, but get out of that habit of having to go back and then be broken again. God's wanting to put us together. He's putting him together a church. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. and of faith towards God. Keep going. Keep going. You let a car stall on a hill, you got to get it over the hill. You got to keep going. You have to do something to get it over the hill. And I remember when cars wasn't like they are now, you had to take a long run at a hill to get the old car over the hill. The Model T's and Model A's, the first car I owned was a 31 Model A four-door sedan. That's the first car I owned. It didn't have no heater in it. It didn't have no nothing in it. No radio. But now we're riding in fine cars. Brother Allman, you remember them Model T's and stuff we used to drive? I remember you had an old car, you had transmission was out of it, and he shifted up there and it had a fork and stick to hold it in gear. But we'd get where we was going, wouldn't we? I had this old 31 Model A, you know, and I'll tell you what, it didn't have no heat. And sure, it didn't have air conditioning. But it's time for us to get on our knees and quit being proud and going on. Things that we appreciate today is the things that makes it easier on us, and we don't want to go through the hard times and go on. Many churches and many ministries and many people are not going on. Therefore, the lion is still roaring. The bear is still growling. The giant is still on the hillside saying, come on up and fight with me. And we're not able to go on yet. But David was one that could go on. The bear he faced is no longer growling. The lion he faced is no longer roaring. The giant that he faced is no longer standing there saying, send me someone to fight. It's over. David fixed that right now. He went on. Saul didn't go on. David went on. You need to go on. I need to go on. Let us go on. Where are we going? To perfection. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Let's go on. Somebody said, I'm doing pretty good. Well, you can do better. Sometimes I think I'm doing pretty good. God will say, hey, remember, you can do better. Let's go on. He'll take you by the hand. He'll lead you to the promised land. If you just listen to God, he'll take you on. But if you listen to people, they'll take you down. Before I caught on to it, I let people get me down. You need to get the picture that you're not on the downside, you're on the upside. God wants us to be on the upside, not on the downside. And if we're on the upside, there's people's going to be attracted to whatever we're doing because there's something going on. So repenting from dead works is a thing that we shouldn't have to do. Is that right? So we're going on to perfection. Now, what is going to take us there? In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it said, God put some ministries in the church. And most of you are probably here this morning are ministers. And ministers, if they don't watch it, you know, the devil always tries to get at the head. If he can cut the head off and sever it from the body, he's got a dead party there. Because when the head cut off, it died. Unconditionally, it died. And so here we find that God left us something to bring us life and to bring us into a ministry to go on. Going on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, until we all come to the unity of what? The faith. Are we in unity in the faith? Do you believe one doctrine and I believe something else? This has got to stop. Do you have one Bible and somebody else has another? We know what worked for 300 and some 400 years. The King James Bible, when it was commissioned in 1611, when it was commissioned, that was the Bible. And that was in its work. Through all these years, why get a hold of something else that man made up? We got to get out of this man thing and get into the spiritual realm. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. He's got rest for it. Matthew chapter 11, 28 tells us that. So he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. What are they for? The work of the ministry. All you preachers say is work of the ministry. Huh? Not laying around doing nothing, but the work for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a, wait a minute here. Let's stop there just a minute. To a what? Now, what's it for? The ministry first. He put that in the church. He put ministry in your church for a purpose. For the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, and the perfecting of the saints. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. The knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but growing up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Now, I just quoted that. Till we what? Till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, perfect man. God expects perfection out of us. If we haven't got it, we need to work on it. That's what everybody said. Going around, well, there ain't nobody perfect. Well, there was one, Jesus, and we're supposed to be like him, and he was perfect. Come on. To all come to unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more little kids playing church. Oh, we got so many people playing church, it's pitiful. That we be more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine and every kind of a Bible and every kind of thing like this. Carried about with everything. Oh, here, try my Bible. Look here, try my song. Let's play a little rock. Where are we going to play? Let's take it down to church. It's something new. Oh, yeah, it's a killer. It's a new killer. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Do you see where we're at? Do you see what Hosea was talking about? Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. God wants us to have righteousness upon us. He wants us to have righteousness in us. And he wants us moving on until that happens. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good things. Where we at? God's dealing with me to tell people where they're at. And also, who are you? Huh? Everybody wants to be on the top of the totem pole. But I'm going to tell you, you'll stay at the bottom until you get this here absorbed. You won't climb the totem pole, but you won't go on. You'll be deceived. That's what it said. That this thing is designed to deceive people, and it's time that we get to where we're not deceived so we can get this deceived generation of people to a place where God can use them again. Praise the Lord. We got to go on. Listen, you know, things look like to leadership sometimes. They don't know what to do. Can't you see Moses? He had this rod that he carried into Egypt was the most powerful weapon in the world at that time. Nothing like it. You know where it came from? It came from God. Moses had it out there, and God said, throw that on the ground. It became a serpent. Pick it up. It became a rod. He said, now I want you to go down. Go on. No, don't just stop here. I want you to go down in Egypt, and here's the message. Moses had a message. It was something that was hard for him to swallow and was hard for him to really even believe what he had himself. He said, you tell Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Let my people go that they may serve and worship me. Well, you know the answer that he got. Now remember, God said, let us go on. So Moses went on. Next morning, Pharaoh had lice in there or something like that, or frogs and all those kind of things, you know. You know, you can put that on the people that's trying to destroy. They can wind up being saved and encouraged and cause them to do what God wants them to do. Pharaoh said, I'll not. I'm not going to do this. Come back in the next day. And Moses said, let my people go. That's what God says. Pharaoh said, well, I'm saying you ain't. I'm not going to let them go. Finally, he got down to where he said about the frogs. I preached a message on that one time, another night with the frog. Moses went in to Pharaoh one morning, and Pharaoh said, I want to get rid of these frogs. Moses said, when do you want me to get rid of them? He said, tomorrow. Well, he wanted one more night with the frogs. Now, that's what the church is. Just one more little night with the frogs, one more little night with the insects. And one more night with this, and then I'm going to get straightened out, Lord, and then I'm going to serve you. That's what sinners out there are saying. After a while, I'm going to get with you, but one more night, just one more night at the honky-tonk, just one more night of committing adultery, just one more night of getting drunk, one more night of doing all these kind of things, and then I'll serve you. God wants it now. Remember what a priest last night and now, faith. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, 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 faith. God wants it now. Somebody said, I know it'd take me a long time. No, it won't. You just pray through and you feel the powers of God. Now, let us move on. So Pharaoh finally said, well, I'll let them go, but I want to keep some of the cattle and I want to bargain with you. Moses said, nothing doing. We're not leaving one hoof behind. We're going to take everything we've got. We're going to take our gold, our silver, our cattle, our donkeys, and our goats, everything, and sheep, and everything's going. And you hear this, Pharaoh? I'll let them go. So Moses went on. Assembled the 600,000 people plus a mixed multitude. That's a pretty good crowd, isn't it? You know, somebody said, I can't get these 15 people that's in my church to straighten up. Huh? What if you had 600,000 plus a mixed multitude and they didn't know where they're going, what they're doing, or nothing? You'd have to depend upon God. But God was with him. He done it because God was with him. He realized that it was God that was with him. It wasn't him doing it. It was God. Got to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea was blocked off, of course. Pharaoh's army coming up behind them, swiftly. God spoke to Moses, said, raise that rod, that powerful weapon you've got. Somebody said, is it a powerful weapon? Yeah. But raise that rod, and when he raised the rod, the sea divided. Most powerful weapon in the world. It killed more people. My land, just think what happened. But the sea divided and they went across on dry ground. Then Pharaoh's army tried it. They got out there in the middle of the sea and God took the wheels off of their chariots and all those kind of things and let the waters back in. And it was the most victorious message in the Bible nearly. The powerful weapon of just that rod. You know, God gave Moses experiences with that rod. Last night we're talking about experiences with evidence. Wasn't that evident? They said, we'll see them no more. Goodbye, Pharaoh. Goodbye, army. The army's drowned. Well, he said, let's move on. How many's ready to move on? How many sat around, you know, with something and you've watched this and you've watched that and you've tried to help people do this and do that and everything. You know, the people in this town, you know, they come by and they want you to help them a little bit financially. And then you give it to them from the church. They'll go down to people that's pushing drugs and get them some drugs. It's time for us to go on. But they won't pay their tithes in the church. It's time to move on. It's time to get down to business with God. It's time that every one of us begin to seek God with all of our heart, with all of our spirit, with everything that is within us. It's time for us to seek God. So Moses moved on. When they got out in the wilderness, they had a problem. They sent some men up to Canaan to see what was going on up there, and it was a land that had lots of things in it. Everybody said, yeah, but there was giants in the land, and there was this, and there were the excuses. Do you ever hear excuses, you pastors? Well, I was going to come to church this morning, but what really happened that you was up all night messing around with the world? You need to pray through. You need to move on. Need to get down to business. Let us go on. So they got in the wilderness and had all these stories going. And Joshua and Caleb, you know, he stayed with what he thought. The only two men that was above the age of 21 years old got into the promised land anyway. Joshua and Caleb, all the rest of them died out. But they went on. They went on. Finally, it got to the place where they was dividing up, and Caleb said, I want my mountain. But every time that there would be a discouraging thing happening, all this thing happened in that time, the people would say, oh, let's this and that. And Caleb, every time his message was, let's get up and go. We can easily take it. It's easy. Oh, but John over here and Joe over here and somebody else said, there's giants up there. But Caleb said, we can take them too. Let's go get it. Well, it took a long time of marching around out there with them dummies. Marching around and around with them. Caleb still saying that every day. I believe his message, let's go on. Let's go on. Let's go get it. Let's go on. Let's go get it. No, they heard the same story from them. Finally, when they all died out, God said, now that mountain's yours, Caleb. You go take it. And at 85 years old, he took his mountain. Somebody said, I'm too old to preach. You know, the devil will try to tell you that. He tries to tell me I'm too old to preach. Do you think I can preach? I believe the devil's a liar. I'm going on. Somebody said, you're too old. Well, what is too old? What is too young? A preacher could be 10 years old if he's got the anointing on him. He could be 100 years old if he's got the anointing. And the congregation, they'll have the blessing of that ministry in the church if they'll just go on. Let us go on. Let us go on. Amen. Different places in the Bible where they went on. Didn't let what people said or what the doctrine said, but they went on. And let's join together and let's go on. You know, every time I see you and every time you see me, let's just say, well, I'm still going on. You got the victory? Yeah, I got the victory. Huh? Devil, he'll tell you a lie. He say, nah, you ain't got the victory. You're too old and you're all this and that. No, let's go on. Let's go on. Let's don't listen to a lie. Bible said they'll believe a lie and be damned. And that, I'll tell you what. That is happening right now. Everywhere you go, they're believing lies. Our people up in Washington, they can't tell the truth anymore. They won't tell the truth. People in the church, they won't tell the truth either. Every time I meet one of them new age movers, you know, I say, how you doing? They say, awesome. Next time you see them, they don't look like they see they're awesome. Huh? Awesome, man. I don't know what that word exactly means, but I got a feeling it means real good. Huh? If that's what it means, then I'm awesome. I feel real good. You feel good? Well, come on. Let's be awesome then. But if that's not what the word means, let's don't be that. Let us go on with the Lord. That's good enough. If he puts his stamp of approval on you and the power of God upon you, get in there and use it. Tell the devil he's a liar to back off. You're coming through. You've been down to Bible Way to the camp meeting, and we've decided that we're going to go on and on and on and on till Jesus comes. Then we'll reach our destination. When we step over that line, time shall be no more. It'll be eternity. And it goes on for on and on and on forever and forever and forever. I don't want to be on the wrong side and get in the wrong spot. I want to be on the right side, and this book that I've got right here will lead me to it. No matter what anybody else does, this is the truth. No matter what anybody else gets concocted up to say this is this and that, this is the truth. And Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. He said, I'm the way. Get behind him. He's the way. Get behind your pastor and get behind your church and help them bring it into control in the controls of God. And God will gloriously bless you and anoint you. You're an overcomer. I'll tell you right now, all you got to do is just go on and you're an overcomer. Don't pay no attention to what the world has to say. All they have is a lie anyway. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. That's Bible. I look back through this crowd and I see so many people that I've known so many years and had good revivals with and powerful experiences with. Like Brother Almond, me and him grew up together. And when the Depression was going on over on Hurricane Creek where we was born and raised, they had a revival about on a brush harbor of nearly every hollow down that creek. People were getting saved. They were getting ready to go on. But I think it was also a foundation of when the Depression was coming on. And we went through that. And then we went from there into service, some kind of the country, if was old enough, which I was barely old enough. And I spent about a year and a half in China in the CBs. But that was a foundation, what I heard. I remember one day, my dad and mother didn't go to church, but I remember that day that we went in a team and wagon. We didn't have a car. And they had a big big meeting going in Cook Holler. Brother Allman knows where that's at. Big crowds of people going up there. Dad said to Mom one night, said, let's just hook up the team and wagon and let's go up to that Brush Harbor, that meeting. Well, he got the team all hooked up, and I got in the back there. They's riding in the front. And as we went down the road, another family, maybe two or three of the kids or even adults, and they join in and walk behind the wagon. And the time we got to Cook Holler, we had quite a crowd following that wagon to Cook Holler. But when we got there, I'd say a half a mile to a mile away, you could hear them shouting. You could hear them praise God. You could hear the singing. And I was just a little fella, about 6 years old. Now I'll tell you what, when I could hear that singing and shouting, I felt something. It was something registered with me. Just a little kid. I'll tell you what, people need to get their kids in church. Amen. That you don't know what they're going to turn out to be. And that feeling has been with me all my life. That I enjoyed that singing. I felt something when I heard it. I enjoyed watching them. They were shouting. They weren't just out there jumping around. They had their handkerchiefs out, tears streaming down their face, and shouting and shouting. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's have revival. Don't ever get up in the morning and say, bad day. There is no bad day with God. Good day. I'm going to quit right here, and I'd like to see everyone, let's, in unity, find ourselves a place to pray and talk with God just a few minutes and tell Him that this message is going to get you to going on. I'm going to say, Lord, and if there's anybody here that's thinking of quitting or backing off or something, you just raise your hand to the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I'm going on.